Let's bring in the love of our morning, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, talking about one of the favorite things for Valentine's Day. No, not sex. Chocolate. Good morning, Arthur.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, February and food.
Yeah.
Last week, I think I talked about carrots, which is, of course, always... No, I've been finding them on sale. Anyway, so the stupidest thing in the age of the locavore, the big food for February is strawberries with chocolate for Valentine's Day. Or if we can remember back to when we were kids, cherry pie. I mean, the most out-of-season thing you can think of for February. It was because George Washington never told a lie.
That's right.
And when he was asked who chopped down the cherry tree, he said, it was I, or me.
It was really true.
But anyway, maybe he wasn't so grammatical, but he was honest.
It was really
actually. I think that story has been debunked.
No,
so maybe they don't teach it anymore.
The truth has come out of that story. It was Donald Trump's father who cut down the apple tree to build the building.
Listen, are you going to get me started? Because my grandfather was an electrical contractor here in Brooklyn.
There you go.
And did work for the Trump Organization or Fred Trump,
yeah.
And
still
and
has
been. Because my grandfather was very active in the electricians' union and other, you know, labor things. He was occasionally thrown into social situations with Fred Trump and his wife. You know, what is the wife's name? I looked this up a few months ago and I couldn't even find it.
I have no idea.
Donald Trump's mother. Anyway, my grandmother used to come back from these parties and say that Trump woman thinks her blank doesn't stink.
That's right.
I'll always remember that. Anyway, back to telling a lie in February. What do you know about that, Marshall?
About telling a lie?
About the cherry tree story. Or were you just making a joke?
No, I was just making a joke because whenever anybody talks about George Washington cutting that, I cannot tell a lie. Nowadays, it automatically comes, okay, there's some way you can work
I gotcha.
The Trumps to this. That's
I gotcha. Well, you know, exactly. Isn't that interesting how the culture has turned around on that issue? Presidential truth?
That's right.
But the one sensible food for February, I think, is chocolate, by the way. So forget the strawberries. I never got that combination anyway, even though I know people swoon over a sour strawberry dipped into sweet chocolate. If I have to combine chocolate with any fruit, I would say pears are my number one fruit for chocolate. And pears, of course, are in high season right now. I've been buying very inexpensive and very delicious Bosque pears. People tend to stay away from Bosques, I think, because, although that's maybe why they're so inexpensive, because they're hard as a rock when you buy them in the supermarket. Give them at least 2 days on your kitchen counter. I ate one yesterday that I bought last week, and it was divine. So buy your pears ahead of time. They won't be hard and sour. They'll be tender and sweet. And you dip a pear into chocolate. I think that's a very good combination. As far as berries go, I prefer raspberries to strawberries. And I know, yes, they're sour too, but
no, much
what can
better.
I tell you?
Much better.
Pardon me?
Much better raspberries. Much better.
Yes, oranges are. I love orange and chocolate. And you could buy mandarins and make little mandarin segments and dip them into chocolate fondue. I like chocolate. I mean, what is chocolate fondue? Chocolate fondue is not fondue. The word fondue actually just means melted anyway. So, yeah, it is, in truth, it is melted chocolate. It is what chocolate fondue, what we used to call chocolate fondue, I don't even know if anybody uses that expression anymore, is what nowadays people say is ganache. And ganache can be either chocolate melted with butter. It's not really buttercream because for buttercream, it's more complicated. But if you just melt chocolate in cream, as it cools down, it will firm up, and you can ice a cake with it. The other form is cream, heavy cream with chocolate, and that can also be made so that you can put it on a cake. but I think I'd rather be eating it in other ways. And in one way would be to dip fruit in it. I love that. That all said, Bob and I go to a restaurant here in Park Slope that is sort of Austrian. I say sort of because they have a lot of Austrian food on the menu, but they also have other things that are totally made up for the local clientele. Let's just say that. Anyway, the owner is, in fact, Austrian, and he has three sensational Austrian desserts on the menu, including what he calls chocolate custard, but we would call, I think I would call, Bob certainly calls, chocolate pot de crème. Now, pot de crème. It means a pot of cream. However, it's not just a pot of cream. It's always flavored with something. Interestingly, if you go online, you will find, you can take a look at traditional pot au crème or pot de crème pots, and they're little ceramic cups with covers. And if you've seen them before and wondered what's the cover for, I mean, you know, it's because the traditional recipe is baked in a bain-marie in the oven. It is a baked custard, in essence. It has egg in it, and the egg, cream, chocolate, all baked together into a beautiful custard. And you need to cover them. Now, if you don't have traditional pots for pots of cream, you just have to put a piece of aluminum foil over each custard cup that you do use. And it does need to be an oven-proof custard cup. So I have pudding dishes that I've had for 1,000 years, and I use those for everything. And mine would have to be covered. But I did unearth, because I'm cleaning closets and disposing of things. I'm not disposing of these. But I did unearth four. It seems I only have four of these covered little pots. So I may actually do a little, half a recipe today, because most of the recipes would make 8 of these. By the way, a great receptacle for a pot au crème or pot de crème or whatever you want to call it, chocolate custard.
Pot de crème.
Pardon me?
Pot de crème.
Pot de crème, okay. If your French is good, you can say pot de crème.
Otherwise, you say pot of cream.
Pardon me?
Otherwise, you say pot of cream.
Yeah, how about chocolate pudding? So
it's the same, right?
A great receptacle are espresso cups. Mm. So if you have espresso cups that could go in the oven in a bain-marie, which is gentle heat, after all, 325 degrees, and when it's in a bain-marie, it's more modified even than that. Now, the big thing with any chocolate, ganache, pudding, buttercream, any chocolate dessert, truly, other than chocolate chip cookies, is what chocolate do you use? There are, in my supermarket, there is an entire, I was going to say an entire half, but there's a half an aisle, a long aisle, only with chocolate. If you didn't know anything about chocolate, you would go crazy trying to decide what chocolate to use for anything, even for eating. So, and nowadays, it's even more confusing because they usually label chocolate with a percentage of how much the cocoa liquor, which is basically the flavoring of chocolate. There's fat and there's solids in a roasted cocoa bean chocolate, and once it's ground, that's called a cocoa liqueur. Cocoa itself is the solid part, and in fact, if you white chocolate, as I'm sure everybody knows by now, has no chocolate liqueur, no cocoa liqueur at all. It is all just cocoa butter, and then it's usually flavored with whatever, vanilla, maybe almonds. I mean, it depends. Anyway, so now they're putting all these percentages on, and I even I am confused. I don't know that much about chocolate. I'm learning little by little here. I did learn how to taste chocolate from a professional quite a few years ago. And so when I do bring a new chocolate home, I do the little tasting routine, which is you take a small piece of the chocolate and keep it in your mouth for a couple minutes. I really mean more than just a few seconds, until it really starts to melt. And then I'm going to make a terrible sound right now, but this is what you do. You go, you put your tongue up on the roof of your mouth, and you cluck between the chocolate and the roof of your mouth and your tongue. And that brings up the aromas and flavors of the chocolate so that you can determine more than it's just sweet, not sweet, you know, get some of the nuances. And there are plenty of nuances in chocolate. I actually prefer funky chocolates as opposed to elegant chocolates, let's call them. But, you know, it's sort of hard. I've hardly ever met a chocolate I didn't like. but I do buy, so what I buy lately is Calibout. By the way, it's not Calibau, I think it's 2 L's, Callebaut. But it's Calibout because it's not French, it's Flemish. It's Belgian chocolate. And they sell Calibout in my market for, I can't believe how cheap it is. It's $16 a pound. So I buy a big half-pound chunk. It's only $8. And that's a lot of chocolate. And we eat that as table chocolate. I'm guessing, because it's not labeled as such, but I'm guessing from knowing other chocolates, that it's a 70%. So 70% chocolate is pretty bitter. It's a bittersweet chocolate. I wouldn't even call it bittersweet. I would just say it's a dark, slightly bitter chocolate. If you don't like dark, slightly bitter chocolate, you're not going to like what they sell all over, I see now, these big hunks of Calibout. There are so many, I don't even want to recommend a particular chocolate beyond this. But this is the only one I know intimately, so to speak, because I keep it in the house all the time. In fact, we have no more than an ounce of chocolate after dinner is our big treat. And Bob once went to a doctor who told him to do this. I think it was his allergy doctor, who was sort of a holistic doctor. And so we got into the habit of having just a small piece of bitter chocolate as our second dessert. We usually have fruit, so we don't really have dessert. Anyway, if you go online, you're going to find a million zillion recipes for chocolate pot de creme. However, I would recommend that you stay away from 90% of them. I looked at a lot of them this morning because they vary so much. And I would stick to Julia Child. And if you don't own a Julia Child, I'm not sure that this is I don't think this is in Mastering the Art of French Cooking 1 or 2. I know it happens to be in the book she did with Jacques Pepin. But I bet you it's in other books, too. It is definitely, you can find it on the Internet. And it's a recipe that's very classic, as you know Julia would be. You use unsweetened, in this case unsweetened chocolate, because you're going to add sugar. And it does have heavy cream and has orange zest. Everybody, it seems, uses instant coffee as a flavor boost for not just chocolate custards, but anything chocolate I'm seeing. Everybody's into this. I used to keep a little jar of Medaglia d'Oro in my cupboard. It's long gone. I wonder how long those crystals keep, because I don't bake that often with chocolate. But whatever. So it's very classic. You beat your egg yolks with sugar. You stir them. You stir in hot cream, the melted chocolate, you put it into the pots, you cover the pots, and you bake them. But the other day, I think it was, in fact, her Valentine's show. I was watching, or at least I passed by and I stopped for a minute, which is sort of my food watching mode. I don't really watch any regular food shows. But I do like, because I like her personality, and I often like the food she makes, the Pioneer Woman, Ree, I forget her last name, her first name is Ree. She actually does live on a ranch, and she does feed cowboys. And she also has kids. And, I mean, she's a busy woman. So she has a recipe for her, and she, by the way, this is why I like her. She starts off with, how do you pronounce this word? Peau de crème, or if you want to get really technical, peau de crème, and then you have to insert a phlegmy, back-of-the-throat, crackly French sound. So, anyway, she has a very innovative recipe for peau de crème, because there's no cream in it, and it's all done in a blender. The only thing you have to, and this reminds me, and in fact, I should have looked it up. I didn't look it up. This reminds me of a recipe I have in one of my early cookbooks called Mock Mousse. It wasn't really chocolate mousse, so I called it Mock Mousse. And this is, I'm going to give you this recipe because it's so easy. Now, she uses, which I don't totally approve of because I don't like the stabilizers, she uses 12 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate chips. And she puts them into her Walmart. She tells you she bought this blender at Walmart. So it's a nothing fancy blender, but she's probably better for it. I have I've told everybody a million times, I have a blender that dates to the 1960s in Oster that's still working perfectly. And you crack in 4 eggs. Just put them in right over the chocolate chips, 12 ounces of chocolate chips, semi-sweet, 4 eggs. Or is it egg yolks? No, 4 eggs. And then add 2 teaspoons of vanilla, as she says, or if you want to kick things up a bit, you can substitute a booze. I usually put in cognac, but Grand Marnier, Kahlua, Frangelico, whatever you like, actually, will work here. I don't like mint. Never would use a mint liqueur. But if you like, creme de menthe is a good. Chocolate mint, people love it. And anyway, so then you add a big pinch of salt, because everything needs a big pinch of salt at least, and put on the blender lid and turn on the blender. Now, this is obviously not going to be smooth, but as soon as the mixture is blended, and by the way, I often start my blender or any of these machines pulsing, and when things get sort of finely chopped up, because things bounce around more when you pulse. And it gets more evenly processed. But as soon as this is all blended, remove the little disc in the blender lid, which is, you know, gives you an opportunity to pour something in. What you're going to pour in is 8 ounces, a whole cup, of very hot, meaning just made, very hot coffee. At least the Pioneer Woman does not use coffee crystals, but in her cooking, but then she confesses that she makes her coffee for this recipe with Folgers crystals.
I was just going to say Folgers.
Yeah, she uses Folgers. She's an honest woman. Anyway, she tells you, she warns you in a way that this is all going to expand in the blender, practically fill up your blender. And then all you do is pour it into the glasses you're going to serve it in. And she shows an array on her website, she shows an array of glasses. That's sort of fun, but if you have 6 or 8 of the same thing, whatever. And she says leave plenty of room at the top so you can top it off with whipped cream. I noticed she refrigerates this for 3 to 4 hours at least to let it firm up. And then she tops it off with slightly sweetened whipped cream. Now, who could complain? Don't tell them it's not the traditional recipe. It's very good. I used to call this mock mousse.
Well, if you call it mock mousse,
hers may be creamier than mine because hers. And by the way, this is very important. Serve it at room temperature. Don't serve it right out of the refrigerator. It'll be much better texture, much better and even the flavor, if you let it come to room temperature. Before, and it won't turn to liquid again. Don't worry about that.
You
with me?
Yeah, I wouldn't have worried.
I thought you had a comment or question.
No, I'm just looking at some of these recipes, and I'm enjoying them.
Well, anyway, so that's the chocolate. Yeah, that's. Now, that said, let me see, do I still have this? Did I talk about this chocolate cake that I made that was a Pillsbury Bake Off winner?
If you did, it was long enough ago for me to go, huh, gee, I'm curious. Tell me about that again. So go for it.
Well, I'm going to see if I can find the recipe here. But I think it was 1988. I was a judge at the Pillsbury Bake Off, which was held I don't know if, does it even exist anymore? Who keeps track of these?
What, the Pillsbury Bake Off? How cool to be a judge.
Yeah, I know it was, and also it was, but we were very. Let me see if I can find this this recipe. We were very criticized. Here it is, the judges, because we selected a recipe that was too simple. They said, "Oh, come on, this is nothing to do." Well, that's why we liked it.
Right.
And it was the 1988 Bake Off contest winner, a recipe prepared by Julie Bengston of Bemidji, Minnesota. Now, I may be one of the few people you know who's ever been to Bemidji, Minnesota. I actually have. Unfortunately, it was before 1988. Had it been after 1988, I probably would have looked up Julie. But and maybe I still can. Bemidji is known for two things. It's the home of, actress. I can't remember her name. It'll come to me. Anyway, let's get to the cake.
And yes, they still have the bake-off.
Yes, they still have the, oh good, you looked it up.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. This is made with a Pillsbury Moist Supreme Devil's Food Cake Mix. Is still sold. It is not the same number. It used to be 1 pound, 2.25 ounces. It isn't now. I see I didn't change this recipe. I didn't mark it up. But whatever it is, it worked. Pillsbury Moist Supreme Devil's Food Cake Mix. I bet you it works with other chocolate cake mixes as well. But the whole thing here is the cake layers, 2 9-inch cake layers, are baked on top of a pecan praline. And when you unmold them, the praline will stick to the cake, and hopefully not to the pan, but I'll tell you how to avoid that. And you stack them, and you can make this ahead, by the way, because you can make the cake part ahead. It lasted 3 days, moist and delicious in my kitchen, covered with plastic wrap. The filling and topping is nothing but whipped cream. So I do suggest that you do the whipped cream at the last minute if you want to make this into a layer cake. And that's the way it won, as a layer cake filled with whipped cream. So to make the praline, you melt 1/2 cup of butter, that's a whole stick of butter, with 1/4 cup of heavy cream, which is also called whipping cream. The Pillsbury people call it whipping cream. In our neck of the woods in the Northeast, it's usually labeled heavy cream. And 1 cup of firmly packed brown sugar. So you in the saucepan, combine the butter, cream, and brown sugar, and put it over, I would say, medium heat until the butter is melted, stirring it occasionally, in the end stirring it a lot so it's all nice and smooth. And pour this, you can make this in an 8-inch, I made these in a 9-inch cake pan. I just made this several weeks ago. Is it still as good as it was then? Well, it's a cake mix cake. So most of us grew up on the taste of cake mixes, not on from scratch cakes. A few cakes our mothers made maybe were from scratch, some family recipes, but otherwise they all delved into the mysteries of the cake mix. And truthfully, the texture of a cake mix is superior to most from-scratch cakes, because unless it's an oil cake. These are oil-based cakes. Oil-based cakes have the best moist crumb. Anyway, so you pour the praline mixture into two pans, an 8-inch or a 9-inch, only because I was so nervous about this whole thing. I put parchment paper on the bottom. It was totally unnecessary. In a large bowl, now you're going to mix the cake. You take your cake mix, whatever size it is, and I just followed the whole recipe the way it was, 1 1/4 cups of water, 1/3 of a cup of oil. I use canola oil, corn oil, peanut oil, any of those, and 3 eggs. And you combine them and beat it on low speed with a handheld mixture or a mixer or a stand-up mixture, but just until moistened. So you could even do this by hand with a whisk. And then beat it for 2 minutes. And, you know, if you use a whisk, of course, it's going to require some stamina to beat it for 2 minutes. And then pour that batter over your praline mixture, which is already in the pan. Did I tell you about the... Yeah. Did I say 3/4 cup of coarsely chopped pecans? I may have missed that. That's essential. So I'll repeat the pecan praline part. Is 1/2 cup of butter, a stick, 1/4 cup of whipped cream. And, you know, you probably could find this recipe on the Pillsbury website. 1 cup of firmly packed brown sugar and 3/4 cup of coarsely, not too finely, coarsely cupped chopped pecans. And you bake the cake at 325 for 35 to 45 minutes. Cool it in the pan for at least 5 minutes. They come out of the pan easily. And that's it. And then once the layers are cool, you can layer them with you're going to need about 1 3/4 cups of whipping cream to cover this whole 2 layers. You're not going to put any on the sides. And, of course, you want to sweeten your cream with a little bit of powdered sugar, maybe a dash of vanilla, and you can decorate this cake. Now, this is what makes it a fancy cake if you want it to be. You can decorate it with whole pecans and chocolate curls. I think everybody would like that for Valentine's Day.
I think that's a great idea. Chocolate praline layer cake. I found it. It's easy enough to find.
I'm sure you're going to find it.
I just found it.
It was the 1988 Bake Off winner.
I'm looking right at it.
Susan Westmoreland and I became friends with Susan Westmoreland because she was a fellow judge. She now lives down the street from me. Well, she's lived down the street from me for over 20 years. Susan Westmoreland is still the food editor of Good Housekeeping magazine. And I just to add, Good Housekeeping is one of the few magazines, women's interest magazines, that still has a food editor. And we used to say, Susan is the good housekeeping seal of approval. So Susan and I definitely voted for this cake and wondered why anybody would criticize us for giving a prize to such a delicious and simple cake.
All right.
Huh.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's it. Happy Valentine's Day.
Are you going to eat chocolate?
No. Well, yes, I am, but Jill's not going to know.
You're allowed to have.
As a diabetic,
chocolate, is a very low carb dessert. Just with the high chocolate content, low sugar kind. You know, bitter chocolate is very low carbs.
All right.
Satisfying.
Delicious.
For the brain too.
Very good for the brain.
Have a great week, everyone.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. You can also find Arthur on our on-demand page as well. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with 2 beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms.
More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.